Hey, you know what? Yeah, happy Father's Day to you dads out there. Awesome chance to celebrate for us today. We're obviously taking a break from our normal sermon series we're in to celebrate dads today. As we get started, I do want to say, though, as I did on Mother's Day, that, you know, Father's Day is not always a day to celebrate for some dads. Be it the relationship you had with your dad growing up, the recent loss of a father, and a strange relationship still with a father. Sometimes Father's Day for many dads can bring back painful memories. And so I just want you to know that I recognize that. And I know that's a reality. And I want you to know that you're loved by God first and foremost, and you're loved by this church. And we're here to support you. So I just want to say that. But I do want to ask the question today, do fathers really make a difference? Do fathers really make a difference? I had the chance about 5 years ago to sit across a restaurant table with a guy I knew, and he had just decided to get divorced and to leave his family, and he had 3 kids. And I told him I wanted to go out to lunch with him, and so we went out to lunch together, and I sat across the table for him, and I just said, hey, tell me a little about, you know, about what's going on. And he shared about the divorce, and of course, the way he put it, everything was his spouse's fault. None of it was his. And then the second thing I asked him was, I said, you know, what impact do you think this will have on your children? And he said, you know, kids are pretty tough. Kids are pretty resilient. I don't think it'll make much of an impact. He said, I'll move on. I'll do my thing. And I don't think it's going to really affect them much. And he decided to move away and get his own condo. And he said, you know, I'll see him maybe once every couple of weeks. No big deal. And it took everything in me not to want to reach over that table and strangle him as I heard him say that. That he believed that his role as a dad really didn't matter at all. And you know, it's not just my friend who said that, or the guy I knew, but you look around at the pop culture, at our media, at government policies, at TV celebrities, and the message portrayed over and over and over is dads really don't matter. I'll give you some examples of TV. If you just look at TV over the last 50, 60 years, and who gets represented on TV, we made a transition from Father Knows Best in the 1950s to Homer Simpson in the 90s. That is quite a transition to go from. Father Knows Best, if you remember that show, which that was way before my time, but to Homer Simpson. And other TV people I'll talk about, but dads are portrayed in these TV shows all the time as incompetent, lazy, absent, bad parents, immature, and more concerned about what beer they're going to drink than what's going on in their kids' lives. You see this in a guy named Al Bundy in Married with Children. Anyone see that show, right? Back in the 80s and 90s, really popular show. Al Bundy, who was the beer-guzzling dad who sat on the couch and hardly ever gave an interest in his kids and disrespected his wife. We saw him. You see Phil Dunphy in Modern Family. 2009, Modern Family came out. I think probably most of us have seen that. Pretty funny show. Phil Dunphy in there, who's a pretty funny guy, but this really kind of goofy, aloof, kind of incompetent father, you see. And then if you've seen that series, Mad Men, so you've seen Mad Men before, and Don Draper on Mad Men, who's the main character. He's this marketing executive guy. And a father in there who's portrayed as constantly sleeping around as he's married and then has almost zero involvement in his kids' lives. And this portrayal of fathers is seen over and over and over. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, when they got divorced, she said, quote, "It never crossed my mind that my son Maddox would need a father. Never crossed my mind that in any way that he would need a father." It's not just in movies, it's in writings as well. In 1974, the New York Times published a piece called "Whatever Happened to Fathers?" In 1995, David Blankenhorn came out with a full-length book called Fatherless America, Confronting Our Most Urgent Social Problem. Our Most Urgent Social Problem. One author said, fathers have either opted out or, if they've tried, given up. I wanted to tell you about some stats I think that portray a different story. And talk to you today about a different story that says fathers not only matter, fathers are crucial. Fathers are crucial to families, fathers are crucial to neighborhoods, fathers are crucial to communities and to nations. fathers play a crucial role. So I want to just run down this list and give you some stats about fathers and fatherless children. So an estimated 24.7 million children live absent their biological father. That's one-third of all kids in America live without their biological father. According to a study done by the National Center for Fathering, they did a poll in 1999, Fathering in America. According to 72.2% of the U.S. population, fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. That's almost three-fourths of people said that. Individuals from father-absent homes were found to be 280% more likely to carry guns and deal drugs than peers living with their fathers. 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway youths come from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions from fatherless homes. And 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 40%, there's another interesting statistic, 40% of children in father-absent homes have not seen their father at all in the past year. 40%. And this statistic I thought was really, really interesting. When a teenager is first to connect to a church, 3.5% of families follow. When a wife or a mother is the first to connect to a church, 22% of families follow. But when a man, a husband, or father is the first to connect to a church, 93% of families follow. That's pretty unbelievable. When a father makes a decision to connect to a church, 93% of families follow suit. Folks, dads matter. Dads matter tremendously. David Popenoe, who's the professor of sociology at Rutgers University and the co-director of the National Marriage Project, summed up a little bit of this when he said, "Fathers are more than just second adults in the home. Involved fathers, especially biological fathers, bring positive benefits to their children that no other person is likely to bring. They provide protection and economic support and male role models. They have a parenting style that is significantly different from that of a mother, and that difference is important in healthy child development." He pointed out that one of the areas that fathers differ in is just how they parent and love their kids. He said it's in a more dangerous way, and I really love that word. It's this more dangerous way. And I saw this firsthand about 2 weeks ago. I was actually talking to a friend of mine looking to get a prop for one of my sermons. I wound up not using it, but he said, "Sure, you can use this prop." And so that's great. So I brought this item home. I'll tell you in a minute. And I get home and I think, man, my kids are going to love to see this. This is going to be so cool. And so I come home after work one day, this is a couple weeks ago, and I come inside and I say, "You guys, get on the couch. Dad's got this cool thing to show you." And they're like, "All right, Dad." And these are my two daughters. And so I get this thing and I'm hiding it behind my back, and my wife in there and my two daughters on the couch. And I say, "You guys ready?" And they say, "Yeah." And I said, "Check it out." And I pull it out and it's a sword. It's this huge sword my friend let me use. And it's in the sheath, and then I pull out of the sheath. And I'm like, "This is awesome." And the kid, it was so great. My response, "This is so cool." And my wife was like, "Oh, what have you done? You've brought a sword into our home." And I'm standing there with it, and I'm thinking, "You guys, this is so cool." And my girls love it too. And it's this, it was a Lord of the Rings sword that had like the elvish words on it. I know some of you guys right now are like, "Get me that thing right now." Yeah, it's so awesome. So we had that, and I showed them this, and they just loved it. They're like, "Dad, this is so cool." And they're like, "Is it sharp?" And I'm like, "It's razor sharp." And it's sharp point at the end. And the best part was at the end, when I put it back in the sheath, and then I start walking away, and my wife's like, "What are you doing?" It's like, "Where are you going with that?" And I was like, "I'm gonna put it somewhere." She's like, "You go right up to our bedroom, and you put it at the top of the closet where no one can ever get access to that." I was like, "All right." Oh, man. Dads parent very differently. It's a more dangerous, wild parenting. I do want to say a couple of notes before I start getting into this a little more. And the first is this. What I don't want to convey today is that dads matter more than moms. That's not what I'm saying. We just had our Mother's Day celebration about a month ago. And clearly, the Bible teaches us that mothers are equally as important in the life of a child. And so I just want you to hear that out there, moms. I'm not saying dads are more important.
We're just going to obviously focus on fathers today. The other thing I do want to say and clarify is this isn't talking about single moms and that being a single mom is something less. I hope you hear me loud and clear. Single moms, I think, probably have one of the most difficult jobs in the entire world. And, you know, I think most any single mom that I've talked to has been the first to say, how can I get male role models in my children's life? How can I get men around my son or daughter to see what a man is like? And so I just want to know, single moms, this is not a knock on single moms. If anything, we want to love and serve and support single moms. But what I'm trying to say is mothers can't be fathers. Mothers can't be fathers. Fathers are unique, and fathers are different, and fathers are needed. So dads, I hope today what you hear from me is that the culture wants to lie to you and deceive you and tell you that you don't matter, and that your role as a dad is minimal. But what I want to say to you, and what God wants to say to you today, is that you serve one of the most important functions in this world. And what I want to do is talk about a couple different areas. The first is I want to talk about a model for manhood and men, that fathers are a model for manhood and men. Every single one of us needs someone to look up to. We need someone to look up to. We need a model. We need a template. We need a physical embodiment of what we are supposed to be. And you see this in all kinds of disciplines and areas of life, right? If you're a doctor, it's not just sufficient to read a textbook about being a doctor, right? You need a model. You need someone to show you what it looks like to do surgery. In any other kind of trade or anything like that in life, you need a model or someone to be. Kids need a model to mimic. They need a model to mimic. And that's what fathers are. Fathers to boys model what it looks like to be a man. And trust me, every young boy is asking that question. What does it look like for me to be a man? And he's looking at you, dads, to be the number one example. And fathers are looking at a dad to know, what is a man like? I'm around men all the time. What are men like? And if I have a future husband, what should that future husband be like to me? And a daughter is looking for a father to that. My dad was a great model for me. I think one area specifically he modeled so much for me was with golf. My dad and I are big golfers. And as I was growing up, I learned to play golf for my dad. And it was around 3-4 years old that my dad started to introduce me to golf. And he got plastic clubs, and we'd go out in the front yard, and he'd put the plastic ball down, and I'd smack it and miss it and probably smack him in the ankle, you know, and we'd be out there, and he'd show me how to putt and how to chip, and then we started going to the golf course together, and he showed me how to swing a club, and he showed me how to chip and drive and do all that stuff. And it was great. Even when I was 7 years old, we lived on a golf course. And I have fond memories of, in the summertime, almost every night going out on the fairway with my dad and bring a big bucket of balls, and we just hit balls out there together. And we talk and laugh, and just, those are some of my greatest memories with him out there. And it's so much fun because my dad, now at 73, we get out there and we get to go play golf together, and my dad has his own cart, and he's like souped up the cart so it's super fast. He put rims on the cart. So I'm like, we're looking blinging out there on the golf course together. But it's so much fun to spend time with my dad with this thing that we had, that he modeled with me throughout my whole life. But I needed someone like that. I needed a physical embodiment of who I was supposed to be. There's a story told about a little boy who was frightened one night in his bedroom, and he heard a loud thunderstorm. And he called out to his dad in the next room, "Daddy, I'm scared." And his dad called back, "Son, don't be scared. God is with you." His boy paused for a moment and then said, "Yeah, but I want someone with skin on right now." Dads, you are Jesus with skin on. You're Jesus with skin on to your kids. I do want to take a look at Jesus, I think, as the greatest model of someone who did that very thing, of modeled what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And just, I want to look at his way of doing modeling and the things that he modeled to his 12 disciples. And I think the things he did, asking ourselves as fathers in each of these areas, what does this look like for me? How does this look like what I'm doing? So I'm just going to run down a list I made of things I saw in the Gospels. Jesus not so much say, he did a lot of saying, but what he did, what he actually did in his life. So first one is he prayed in front of them. He prayed in front of his disciples. If you see anything in the Gospels, you see Jesus constantly in prayer. looking to the Father, praying to them. In fact, so much the disciples at one point asked Jesus, how do we pray? Show us how you do it, probably because we've seen you do it. We've seen you doing it all the time. And what that communicated was a tremendous truth of Jesus' power came from the Father. Jesus' life came from the Father. His dependence was on the Father. And so we got to ask dads, do your kids see you praying? And this is not just praying at meals or praying at bedtime. That's wonderful. But is prayer integrated into your day? Do they see you praying at other times in your day? Other times when you face struggles in your day or issues or things going on, do they see you as a praying dad? Because what that communicates is you're a dependent dad, which is the strongest dad there is, a dependent dad on the Father. Jesus, number two, went off to solitary places for rest. Multiple times in the gospel, you see in Jesus pulling away from the crowds to get rest. And I think what he wanted to model was the rhythm of work and rest, work and rest, work and rest. Fathers, do your kids see you do that? Do you model a pattern of working and working as hard as you can, but then resting, pulling times away, having fun, laughing, getting out, enjoying things? Do you model a pattern of work and rest? Jesus' treatment and love of women. It's phenomenal when you understand the historical culture of that time with Jesus and how well he treated women. Sometimes I think women look back at that culture and they look back and say, oh my gosh, you know, it was so awful. But you look at Jesus, he was unbelievable in his compassion for women, in his elevation of women in that culture. And a great question to ask, fathers, how are you treating the women in your life? Most importantly, how are you treating your wife? How do your kids see you treating your wife? And the women that are around you each day, do they see you treating them with respect, with love, with care, with compassion? Jesus, number four, his boldness in declaring who God was. Jesus was unapologetic in claiming who he was as God. And it gave me thinking, fathers, are we the same? How unapologetic are you, and do your kids see you declaring who Christ is? Do you share about Christ in public? Do you talk about Jesus? Do you talk about what he's meant to you? You talk about who he is and what he can do for people. Fifthly, Jesus' compassion for the sick, the outcast, the hurt, and the poor. In Matthew 8, Jesus tells us, went and he touched a leper and healed him. And if you understand the culture back then, that no one touched anyone who was lepers, who were lepers. And so think of Jesus' disciples as they see the Son of God laying his hand on someone who it was taboo to touch. And what that must have communicated and just how powerful that was to them. And fathers, do your kids see you caring about those who were outcasts, who were poor, who were destitute? Do they see you caring for them, thinking about them, praying about them? Jesus, also his forgiving of Peter after his betrayal, right? When Peter betrayed him three times, and then Jesus in the end of the book of John in chapter 20 restores Peter. He forgives Peter, and then he restores Peter. And it made me think, fathers, what kind of model are you setting of forgiveness? Have you ever asked your kids to forgive you for something? Have you modeled what it looks like to forgive your spouse or ask for forgiveness? To model forgiveness in front of our kids. Jesus, his mission to the lost. Jesus was called a friend of sinners, right? I don't think he got that by talking about it. I think he got that because he actually did hang out with sinners. He actually did spend time with the lost. Dads, how often are you at your home praying for the lost? How often are you talking about the lost? How often are you inviting the lost over to your home so they can see how your family works? Jesus washes the disciples' feet, showing them what it meant to be a leader, that a leader doesn't lord over people, but a leader is one who serves people. And last but not least, the final act that I think is modeling, his dying on the cross. His dying on the cross, his giving up of his life for other people. Fathers, how are you modeling giving up your life for your family? It made me think of the person I talked about at the very beginning of my sermon, that person I sat across the table to at the restaurant, and how, in fact, he did the very opposite of giving up his life for his family. He picked up his life for the sake of his family. Fathers, are you laying down your lives for your families, as Jesus has done for you? In Matthew 10, we get one of the parts where Jesus goes to his 12 disciples, and he says to them, okay, what you've seen me do, I want you to go now to now do. He sends them out on mission to go to the very things that he has been doing, to heal the sick, to exorcise demons, to preach the good news, all these things that he had been doing. He tells them, now I want you guys to go do what you've seen me do. And I think in the same way, Jesus is sending us as fathers on mission into our families. He is sending us into our families and saying, as I've done for you, as I've modeled for you, I want you to do for your family. Fathers, as Jesus has done all these things for you, he has sent you into mission on your family. It's important to remember, as dad, that every single thing you're doing is teaching your kids something. Even the fact that things that you're not doing is teaching your kids something. Everything you say, everything you do is teaching your kids something. I think it's important to understand, too, what happens when we don't model for our kids? What happens when we don't model what it looks like to follow Jesus to our kids? Well, I want to talk about just briefly boys and girls, so because they tend to show what happens in different ways. And as you look, it definitely happens in all different kinds of ways, but predominantly boys tend to act out in anger and violence. When they don't have a father who loves them well and is a model, what you see oftentimes is men show it in anger and violence. Hence, the Federal Bureau of Prisons in May last month released that the composition of inmates in prison across America is 93% men and 7% female. Which I don't think probably was any big surprise to anyone, but 93% are men in prison. And again, I understand there's lots of factors involved. I'm not saying this is the only one, but certainly men tend to act out when there hasn't been a good male role model in their lives in a way where they seek to use violence against other people, against the culture, or against themselves. On the other hand, when it comes to girls, what you oftentimes see, again, it can come out in all different kinds of ways, but you oftentimes see girls that have not had a father who was engaged in loving as it shows itself in them being a promiscuous. And study after study after study after study backs this up to show that. Girls whose dads are more absent during their childhood are more likely to be sexually promiscuous later in life. They're more likely to lose their virginity at an earlier age and participate in risky sexual behaviors. In fact, a study was published in the New York Times a number of years ago that found that girls whose fathers disappear before the age of 6 were 5 times more likely to end up pregnant as teenagers. 5 times more likely. The article talked about the way that fathers uniquely communicate to daughters, the way that they physically play with daughters in a way that's healthy and appropriate, increases the girl's sense of independence, self-esteem, and confidence because they know they have a dad who loves them, who's engaged, who's fighting for them, who's caring for them. And because of that, they have a self-esteem, they have a confidence where they're not going to look to men to fill certain kinds of needs. The article said an absent father makes it difficult for girls to have long-lasting relationships. It said they have not had a man who has fought for them or loved them. They experience a loss of security, too, without a dad who's there to be a strong presence of security in their home and in their life. I thought what stuck out to me especially this was that stat I gave earlier, that 93% of fathers who choose to connect to a church, their families follow. Fathers matter. And I think as goes the dad, so goes the family. As goes the dad, so goes the family. Okay, second one is this, is dads who don't tap out. Dads who don't tap out. Any of you here wrestled? Couple, let's say. Anyone who likes wrestling? Okay, it's coming from our hands. All right. Some of us are like, I'm not going to raise my hand on that one. So when I was younger, I didn't wrestle at all, but I loved watching wrestling. And I especially loved to watch WWF wrestling. Right? Come on. You guys know who you are. 80s and 90s WWF wrestling. Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Bret the Hitman Hart. All these favorites. It was so awesome. I loved to watch. Saturday mornings, I would get up and I'd watch WWF wrestling. These guys, and they jump off the ropes and they'd be doing all this fake wrestling, and I thought it was so awesome. But a couple things would happen in that wrestling is that if there ever was a moment where a guy got into a hold that he couldn't get out, and he was getting either choked or his arm was in a spot where it was about to get broken, you would see him tap out. And he on the mat, he'd do a tap like this, and the referee would say, stop, stop, it's over. And he'd tap out. But on the other hand, you also saw when they had tag team wrestling, this is my favorite, WWF tag team wrestling, where it was doubles, and then they have two guys in the ring battling, and the other two guys were outside the ring, and they'd be sitting there, and when you're done in the ring, when you've had enough, you would go and high-five your partner, tap him in, and then he'd get in the ring. And the guy would be there, and he'd be like, tap me in, I'll get him, I'll get him. And the guy would come over, and he'd tap him, and then he'd jump in right there and start wrestling. And my friends, on Saturday, then I'd invite all my friends over, and we'd get out in the backyard, and we would reenact the WWF wrestling. We would get out there and we'd start running around and we'd set up things and we'd jump off chairs into the grass, you know, and I'd do the elbow, you know, and boo, and I'd drop the elbow on a friend. What we didn't do is get in the wrestler outfits. I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to humiliate myself and embarrass myself wearing a singlet. But I want to talk to you about dads who tap out and dads who tap in. How many dads stay committed for a period of time to their kids growing up, but then take a back seat at some point? Often dads do this around the teenage years, right? You hear this story over and over again. Dads who were engaged at a certain level in the earlier years where physically it was demanding, but it wasn't so demanding emotionally or relationally or spiritually. All of a sudden, they get to the teenage years where it's not as physically demanding, but much more emotionally, spiritually, and relationally demanding. And they tap out. And they tap out. They don't spend as much time with their kids. The conversations get more difficult, so they don't have them. The demands are much higher, and so they just check out into work or hobbies or whatever else that they do. But we need dads who won't tap out. We need dads who will tap in. Who will tap in. And you know, we need grandfathers who will tap in. Grandfathers, you out there today, I want you to know that you have such an incredible opportunity. I think grandparents, both grandmas and grandfathers, have such a unique place in a grandchild's life. And I know, you know, the old adage, and people laugh all the time about grandparent years, and it's all the fun, bring the kids over, sugar them up, and send them home, right? That's what they always say, which is awesome. I'm all for that. Have fun. Do that. But at the same time, I think you don't want to miss the opportunity you have. You have such a great chance to speak into your grandkids' lives. You have such a great chance to model for them what it looks like to be someone in their older years who's followed Jesus the whole time. You have a great opportunity. And sadly, sometimes I see grandparents who just forsake that. It's all fun and games. It's all good times. I want to encourage you, grandparents, do that, make it about fun, have a wonderful time, but be a model to them. Use the time that you have left well. Dads, we can't tap out. Don't tap out when it comes to clothing. Don't tap out when it comes to discipline. Don't tap out when it comes to having the birds and bees talks. Don't tap out when it comes to dating, when it comes to technology, or all the other things that teenagers and young kids are wrestling with today and they want to talk with you about, don't tap out. Tap in. Step into it as awkward as it may be, as uncomfortable as you may be, as much as you don't even know what to say or how to handle it. What they need to see is, Dad loves me enough to be engaged. Dad loves me enough just to take a step into this. You don't need to be the Superman, Dad. You just need to be an engaged dad. I remember a couple weeks ago, sat down on the bed at night with my youngest daughter, and out of the blue, she just said, Dad, you are the best dad in the world. I think probably a lot of us dads have heard that, right? You're the best dad in the world. And I thought, well, I'm the only dad you have in the world. And she said, that is true, but you're a pretty awesome dad. And it was so funny because, you know, I started going through my head the a day. What had happened during that day? And I thought, there must have been something I did phenomenal that happened. And as I reran the day in my head, there was nothing. I came up with nothing special. We didn't even go outside and do some really fun, amazing thing. We just were around the house the whole day doing pretty much everyday stuff. And yet my daughter came to the conclusion, you're an amazing dad. And sometimes I think that as dads, we think we've got to be these super dads. When the reality is, I think so often our kids are just looking for us to be engaged. Just be present. Just be there. Love them. That's the first step. Now, certainly God wants us to do more. God wants us to be investing and pouring in their lives and mentoring all those things, but being engaged is a huge step. And we are engaged, dads, why? We're engaged because God is engaged in our lives. God is engaged in your life. We are his children, right? And he is engaged in our life. He is present in our lives by caring for us, by protecting us, by comforting us, by shepherding us, and by guiding us. God is an engaged father, is he not? He is an engaged father. You know, when sin entered the world, what I noticed God didn't do is tap out. God didn't say, I'm not dealing with this. I can't handle this. God tapped in, and he tapped in big. He tapped in by, it says, sending his own son into the world to take on human flesh. And then he tapped on even bigger by having him go to a cross and be crucified for us. I don't think it gets any more of someone tapping in than God did for us. Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock. We sang about that today in one of our songs. And gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. What an awesome example of a father who comes and pulled us out of places we're in and puts us on a steady rock. Psalm 139, 1 through 4 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. I don't think it gets any more engaged than that. He has given us his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to be present with us 24/7. So that he might lead and guide us. And fathers, Jesus hasn't tapped out for you. He is tapped in for you. In Matthew 26:39, when Jesus is at the end of his ministry, it says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. The perfect opportunity for Jesus to tap out. And to say, this is not what I can do. I can't do this. And instead, he taps in and says, I'll go through with it. You know, a lot of times when I get home from work, and I know you fathers are probably similar, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm ready to have a break, I'm ready to sit down. A lot of times I've mentioned I haven't been feeling well, so I don't feel great. And I'm thinking, I just want to rest. And I come in the door, and my daughter comes running and said, Dad, let's go outside and play soccer. Many dads perhaps have experience, right? Maybe it's not soccer for you. Maybe it's something else. Dad, let's go out there. And in my head, I'm thinking, no, I can't do this. But that is the moment where you have a decision to either tap out or to tap in. And at night, I know when my kids, when we read, when we're going to bed, Dad, will you read to me for a minute? And so many nights, honestly, I'm so exhausted. It's like 8:30 or 8 o'clock, and I'm thinking, I just need to go to bed. And like, Dad, can you read with me? And then once again, I have a choice. Am I going to tap out, or am I going to tap in? And I tap in, and I go in the room, and we open up the book, and we read, and 2 pages into it, they look over, and they say, Dad, are you sleeping? And I'm like, no, I'm praying. Gosh, come on. Okay, I was asleep, all right? We're going to watch a video of a man who, by actually tapping out, he tapped into his son's life. Let's watch. That Frankie Jr., I read an article about him, and he talked about how his whole life, his dad had been tapping in. His dad was the best model he'd ever seen for what a father's like. And I thought it was ironic because actually by tapping out his son, he showed how all his 22 years he'd been tapping in. Dads, I got to ask, are you in the process right now of tapping in or tapping out? Dads, I hope you know today that you matter so much. Some of you maybe came today, and maybe that's the question you're wrestling with. Do I matter in my kids' lives? And I hope you heard loud and clear, you matter so much. Your kids need you every single day. 936. 936. That's the number of weeks from a baby being born until 18 years old. A woman I read recently in her home with her husband and her got a jar out, and they put 936 marbles in this jar when their baby was born. And then every week that passed by, she took a marble with her and her husband and took it out and put it somewhere else to show every week that was passing by. I thought about my kids. I've got 486 marbles and 338 marbles left. Dads, how many marbles do you have left? How many marbles do you have left? I want to encourage you today to take every opportunity to pour into your kids. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you demonstrated for us what it looks like to give up our lives. And as fathers, Lord, we need that. We want to look at the model that you gave us today to give up our lives for these kids that you have put into our possession, Lord. But really, we are stewards of what you've given us. And so here are the lives of little human beings that you have put for us to be stewards, God. Let us stand. Let us charge forward. Let us follow after what you have done for us and showed us, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the opportunity you've given us, each dad here. And God, I pray today that we would know that the mantle that you've given us, the wonderful opportunity you've given us as dads, that we play such a crucial role and critical role in the lives of our kids. As goes the father, so goes the family. Let us be the fathers you've called us to be, Lord Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping.